Stay tuned for Bob Inyart Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Inyart with our Denver Bible Church update. Doug, did you have a good Christmas? Merry Christmas?
I had a very Merry Christmas.
Great. Yes. You were traveling.
I've been traveling incessantly.
For a couple weeks.
Yes. All over America, though.
Yeah. But now we're this is the beginning of the show where we talk about Denver Bible Church.
I'll be glad to be back there this Sunday.
Things have been neat at church.
Yeah. You'll have to give me an update.
Yeah, right. Well, with Christmas here, we had our sermon, and it was about the evidence. We didn't only celebrate the birth of Christ, which of course we did, but then we gave the evidence, especially for those in the congregation who were unbelievers.
Yeah.
The evidence for why we believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior.
Well, there's really no evidence. It's really all about faith, right?
Right. Faith is believing that which you know is not true.
Now, wait a minute.
Well, that's what liberals say or think.
I have heard that said, that, well, it just can't be proven. You have to take it on faith.
Right.
You know?
And, yeah, faith, the Bible says that faith is the evidence.
Faith is the evidence.
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 13.
Of things not seen.
Not seen.
That's heavy duty.
Yeah, faith is the evidence. So when you can't see, like you can't see electricity,
right,
but you have faith that if you stick your fingers in a socket,
right,
it's going to zap you.
Yeah.
And you can't see gravity, but you have faith that if you fall off a building, you'll hit the ground.
Yes, you will.
Right. So faith is something that intelligent people use. They look at the evidence, and they're able to determine things that they can't see directly.
So the liberals skipped over that passage in Hebrews.
Yeah, and I gave the wrong verse. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the evidence of things not seen.
Wow. And there is a considerable amount of evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just the fact that it's the year 2004 coming up here is some evidence that something happened that was a pretty big deal.
In that we date, the world dates the calendar from his birth.
Right.
And every week, every Sunday, when the wheels of commerce stop turning for billions of people around the world, it's because we remember that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on a Sunday.
Right.
That's why Sunday is treated the way it is. Now, liberals don't like that, but that's why. Why do we have a seven-day week?
Yeah, why is that?
What lunar, solar, cycle? Why? It's because the Bible says that God created us, created in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested.
Yeah.
And then later with Moses, then every seventh day was the Sabbath.
Right.
And the Jews could not work or even start a fire on the Sabbath.
So there's a lot of sociological evidence.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That something occurred.
Something's up.
Yeah.
And liberals like to say that, well, the Jews were just one tribe out of thousands of tribes.
Right.
And their mythology was insignificant to the history of the world, except that the history of the world is written from the perspective of this book, the Bible.
It certainly is.
That's what determines whether or not something is significant or not.
Now, you gave the sermon, presented a lot of evidence.
Yeah, evidence that Jesus Christ, his birth, just the prophecies of his birth,
right,
are so extraordinary,
yeah,
really neat. And so we did that. We looked at that. We gave people a reason to believe. And so, you know, on Christmas, you have visitors, Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, you get the Christmas and Easter crowd. They're generally heathens, but there's somebody drags them to church.
That's right.
Right? And you got to get through to them. It could be your only shot as a pastor
to get
through. And
they feel obligated.
Right.
And
exactly.
So they go.
Exactly. I know good Christian people
who go
to lousy churches on Christmas and Easter just because they feel obligated.
Oh.
It'd be so nice if there was a good, solid, fundamental, Bible-believing Christian church in every zip code in America.
In every community.
I mean, there's so many people out there struggling for it. That's why I'm thrilled to be back in this particular zip code so that I can go to Denver Bible Church where I know there's a good church.
And there are a lot of great churches out there. But we invite you to come on out to ours, Denver Bible Church, this Sunday morning. Now, Sunday night, we're off. No Bible study Sunday night. Right?
Right.
Okay. Now, stay tuned for Bob Inyart Live.
Service with the weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Hi, Doug.
And this, you are not listening to a previously recorded best of Bob Enyart Live.
No.
We are not listening to a second string guest host.
That's right.
This is the actual Bob Enyart Live with the first string team here on Friday night.
Yeah. Unless you're hearing it on some future night.
Unless you're not hearing it tonight.
Unless we replay it.
What is tonight? Friday the 26th, the day after Christmas.
Yeah, December 26th.
And we're still working.
A tragic date, you know, for those in Iran, Doug.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I heard about that.
Oh, the earthquake, the pre-dawn earthquake that killed, what's the number now? What is it up to? 70% of the buildings.
Wow.
In this city, have collapsed.
Estimates as high as 20,000, possibly.
20,000 dead. What a terrible tragedy. And, you know, it's weird that we could compare that to approximately the same size earthquake in California.
Right. Just this week in Paso Robles.
A week ago, 6.5 on the Richter scale.
Right. That's right.
And this one, they're saying, is somewhere around 6.5.
Right.
And so what's the – in California, two died.
Two people died when one old building, one historic old building, collapsed.
Collapsed. And I think a total of 40 old buildings collapsed. But two people died. Here, 70% of their buildings died. The population in this city and the environs was about 200,000 people.
Really?
So, and you know, California is pretty populated.
They've got a lot of people out there.
Yeah. And for 20,000 to be dead in Iran— And two in California? What's the difference?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah, why is that? Why, well, you tell me.
You tell me.
I don't know. Maybe maybe in California they have better building codes.
They have thicker heads.
Everything's that's newer in California.
That's right. It's right. It's prosperity.
Ah.
It's prosperity. When you're poor, you build buildings to fall down. That's what you do. Well, we build this building and maybe it'll fall down in 10 years.
Well, they don't have access to the finest engineering minds and the best materials when you're living in an abject poverty of an Islamic state.
Right. And so, you know, when liberals get upset, they say we're fighting a war for oil because of our standard of living.
Yeah.
I always say to them that the opposite of the standard of living is dying. They don't get that.
Wow.
The opposite of a standard of living is the standard of dying. And so you want a good standard of living so that you could build a home that will not collapse on your children's heads.
Yeah.
That's the goal of a good standard of living.
Right.
And that's what everyone in the world, that's our physical, material goal should be, to improve our standard of living.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, better health.
Yeah.
Right, better mental health, that you're not stressed out. Where are we going to get our next meal from?
Yeah.
So anyway, what a tragedy.
Yeah,
and it's a tragedy of religion and government.
Religion and government.
Yeah, because those are the two things that keep people in poverty.
Wow.
Religion and government. So the better the religion, the better the government, the more prosperous people can become. Now in America, our government is turning against Christianity, the war on Christianity.
Yeah.
And we're becoming increasingly a socialist economy.
This is true. Very secular government.
Yeah.
Completely devoid of its Christian heritage.
Yeah. So we can only guess at the kind of prosperity we could have if it wasn't for this liberal turn.
Wow. Imagine that. Everybody thinks we're doing great, right? Because we had 8.1% growth in the final or the third quarter.
Mm.
But who can imagine if 30 years ago, if we hadn't tossed God out of the public square completely?
Right. And if we didn't have these welfare programs and progressive income tax.
And slaughtered a third of the babies.
Right, through abortion. The average American family, if we taxed like the Bible says.
Yeah.
Not the 50% tax rate that we have.
Yeah.
But like the Bible says, the average American family could take a cruise or fly around the world or do some extraordinary vacation every year. Every year you take your kids, unless you don't like your kids.
Well, your but wait a minute, Bob. If we started doing that,
yeah,
then a large percentage of the population, particularly the liberals and the leftists,
yeah.
would just be overcome with guilt, and they just wouldn't be able to. They just couldn't deal with the fact that they had enough money to go on a cruise every year.
Right, and then you know more people would want to come here, which I'm generally in favor of because we are, for all our faults, we're the most Christian nation.
Still, yeah.
And so when people come here, they stand a much better chance of getting saved than if they stay in Botswana or wherever it is they're from.
Right, right.
So I'm all for people coming here as a general rule.
Right, just as long as we screen out the criminals.
Yeah.
Some way to screen them out. We can't let people sneak in through tunnels across the border, I don't think.
No, yeah, right, right. Criminals, terrorists, homosexuals, you know.
Yeah, we got to screen out the undesirables.
Right.
Can you even say that anymore, undesirables?
No, you can't say that.
Can't say that anymore. No. Hey, you know, now that
you can't even say the homosexuals because they'll get you.
Hey, you want to hear a funny story, Bob?
Yeah.
Since it's Christmas. First of all, I think it's incumbent upon us to send Kwanzaa greetings out to all of our listeners.
Happy.
They probably felt slighted that we didn't wish them Kwanzaa greetings right at the top of the show.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah, and
you can't say Merry Christmas.
No, you can't say Merry Christmas.
But you can say Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah, Happy Kwanzaa. There's going to be nothing but Kwanzaa, Target commercials for Kwanzaa for the next 6 days.
Right.
And there was a story on Kwanzaa.
Now, everybody knows, Doug, what Kwanzaa is.
Well, it's an ancient African holiday that goes back 2,000 or 3,000 years.
That was invented,
I think,
by an American. In the 70s? Yeah. When did
Actually,
he make it up?
It was one of those Black Panther guys. One of those guys in Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland, California, yeah. Invented an ancient African traditional
right.
holiday.
Now, we don't know if this guy, his name was Maulana Karenga. We don't know if he was part of the Black Panthers that was dealing cocaine out there and all that. He might not have been. He might have been part of the non-militant wing,
yeah.
the
right.
political wing of the Black Panther Party.
Yeah.
Anyway, he invented it. And it's funny, this is the London Daily Telegraph. They say he blended African harvest festivals with ancient Egyptian traditions
wow.
and black power theology, then bound the lot together with a smattering of Swahili rituals, and voila. Today, some 18 million people celebrate Kwanzaa.
Didn't he stick a menorah in there?
It's a menorah with an extra candlestick.
Okay.
He couldn't just rip off the menorah. That would have just been too brazen.
Right.
So he added a seventh. Is it a seventh? How many are in the menorah? I was just at this huge party in New York where they had a big one. It's 6 candles, right?
Yeah.
8?
Well, now you're freaking me out. I haven't thought of it. 7, right? It's, one in the middle.
Yeah.
Now this is embarrassing, Doug.
Yeah, well, then this guy, he just lifted the menorah straight. I mean, it has 7 candles as well. But instead of lighting a... Well, they do. They light a candle every night, and they discuss—
7 or 9 candles. See? A menorah has 7 or 9.
7 or 9. Well, this is strictly
and
7.
Hence our confusion.
Hence our confusion.
7 or 9.
Right. And this is Bob Enyart Live. We will be right back.
Okay.
At Bob Enyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty, and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Here, Bob Enyart here with a live commercial break. So, Doug, what do I tell people about?
Christ.
Right. Yeah.
I remember you had a program called The Planet, Stars, and the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
That
we
was
have
fascinating.
That. We have that on videotape.
Well, you do have it,
Planet,
and it's available.
Planet, Stars, and the Bible, Scripture and the Heavenly Host.
Yeah.
And we take software that you could plot the orbit of the planets
right.
against the stars
yeah.
and all. And you could not only see where the planets will be next year, Yeah. In fact, we demonstrated the software on the show.
Right.
There was an alignment of seven planets, I think.
Right, right.
Back a few years ago. And the software that was written years earlier, the simulation software, we ran it. And there, for that night, they were lined up.
It predicted. It was accurate.
Yeah, it's accurate.
Yeah. Wow.
And so we ran it backwards 2,000 years to see what might the Star of Bethlehem have been.
Yeah.
Really neat.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Really neat. And then not only the Star of Bethlehem, but generally the Bible and the heavenly host.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say about the stars, and what do the stars say about the Bible?
There's a lot of stuff in the Bible about the stars.
Yeah,
and how much is the video?
$19.95.
You can call 800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. Order today the planets, stars, and the Bible.
Or kgov.com. We're back. Bob and you're live, 1-800-8-NYART.
So, Bob, just one more thing on Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa, everybody. The article in the London Telegraph says Kwanzaa is not intended as a religious alternative to Christmas, though some black Christians shun it as a heathen celebration. Huh. So you know the good, solid, southern black Baptists, they're not celebrating Kwanzaa.
Right, right.
They know it's a bunch of pagan socialists.
But the fact that so many are, apparently, I don't know how they document that.
Yeah, how do they? How do,
but
18
maybe
million.
Based on Hallmark Kwanzaa card sales. Right? But it shows how desperate people are for something to believe in, that 18 million people will believe in an ancient tradition that was made up by some black power guy in the 60s.
In the 60s.
And isn't that something?
People are desperate. And, you know, it brings to mind the idea that all of the tens of thousands of black slaves who were kidnapped and sold into bondage. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing that so many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of their children have grown up to become Christians? Mm. So that's what's so awesome about God. The world is broken, and people are evil, and they're wicked, and they do terrible things.
Right.
But God is able to bless the innocent, the children, you know, out of that.
Yeah,
and so the black people, instead of looking for some bogus holiday, they should just stick to their good, solid black Southern Baptist roots.
Yeah.
Right. And us white people should do the same.
The truth. Yeah, the truth.
Yeah, the truth. How about that? Jesus Christ, born, resurrected from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's plenty to celebrate right there. You don't have to exchange copies of Das Kapital with your, you know, I don't know.
All right. Now, for the public school teachers tuning in, you'll have to look that up.
You'll
on
have
the
to
internet,
look that one up.
Das
yeah.
Kapital.
Well, the article said that the most common gift that they're encouraged to exchange on Kwanzaa are books.
Oh.
And so I assume that Das Kapital would be the number one.
Well, of the founder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, isn't one of the planks, one of the, what do they call them, pillars?
Yeah.
One of the seven pillars is collective work.
Oh, of Kwanzaa.
Of Kwanzaa.
Collective work.
And then there's another just obviously socialist pillar. I can't think of it right now.
Yeah.
But,
all right. All right. Like, well, being against socialism.
Yes.
And liberalism, how about these college Republicans all over the country? They are so funny with the story out Christmas Eve about, yet again, more college bake sales.
Bake sales?
That are driving liberals nuts.
Now, why would a bake sale drive a liberal
nuts?
I'm going
to ask our studio audience if they know about this.
Yeah.
Do you know about this, bake sales?
I remember...
No.
I remember Nobody Rush knows. Limbaugh had a bake sale.
Yeah, up in Fort Collins.
That drove the liberals nuts.
We went to that.
Yeah, I was there.
You were there.
I was there.
There was, what, 25,000 people there?
There were a lot of
more
people
than
there.
That.
And no litter.
It was an amazing.
Yeah, nobody hardly even spit on the sidewalk.
It was
great.
A fun
it
day.
Was. It
Wasn't
was nice.
It great?
Yeah.
The old Rush.
But obviously, is that
these
what
bake sales
what kind of bake
are
sales do they got going on?
These are to illustrate the problems with affirmative action.
Oh, affirmative action. Now, do we need to explain that to the public school educators out there?
They know what it is.
Oh, they know. Okay.
But, you know, normal people with normal lives might not know. But affirmative action is where, like, governments or major universities will give benefit advantages to minorities.
Ah, yes.
In promoting, hiring.
Right.
So where your skin color, you're judged based on your skin color.
Yeah.
So that some, like, police forces will not promote or not hire whites at a certain point, they're looking specifically for black women or
right
lesbians.
So they weight their scores in testing, or they make the promotion available for a woman at this level, and for a white man, he has to score 30 points higher.
Like the Denver Post had a help wanted ad looking for mechanic, heavy equipment.
Yeah.
Women only need apply.
Heavy equipment.
For the state of Colorado.
For the state government?
The state government was hiring a mechanic to work on their dump trucks, I guess.
Yeah.
And they said, women only need apply.
Park your motorcycle around the rear and come in for an interview.
Yeah. So other than dykes on bikes, who are busy generally, who's going to apply? The funny thing is, the week before that, I tried to place an ad in the Denver Post for a salesman for the show. And I work, you know, we don't have a big staff. And I'd be alone a lot of the time with whoever we hired.
Right.
So I put men only need apply.
Right.
They said, no, you can't do that. Our policy doesn't allow sex discrimination. So, okay, it's a private newspaper. They have their right.
Sure.
I called up the same ad salesperson the next week. And I said, what's with this? What's with this? Here's this ad. What, because it's for women?
Right.
I said, men only? You guys discriminate on the basis of gender.
Yeah.
You liberal hypocrites at the Denver Compost. But anyway, so here's this bake sale.
Okay, so now the Republicans are having a bake sale. Now, how are they?
This one's in Seattle.
How does this work?
All right. This is what they do. Organizers at the bake sale in Seattle.
They're selling cookies.
They charge
donuts.
Cookies. They charge white students $1 for a cookie.
That's kind of steep for a cookie, but.
Well, not at Starbucks. Well,
yeah, I guess you're right.
Right.
And besides, we all know that the whites can afford to pay more.
Yeah. That's the whole point. They charge white students $1 for a cookie, while blacks and other minorities pay 25 cents up to 95 cents, depending.
Oh, up to 95 cents.
Depending on their minority.
So
they pay as little as 25 cents. So you open up, right? And you're selling cookies for a dollar to whites, but blacks could buy the cookies for 25 cents.
Wow.
Donuts are available for 50 cents to everyone.
Well, that's fair enough.
Except for Asian Americans and whites who cannot purchase them.
No, the Asians and the whites, they can't get donuts at all.
They can't get them.
That's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
That is really good.
It sends liberals into a fit. They just take a fit because it's such a perfect illustration.
It is.
What's the difference if you say, we're going to give promotions to blacks?
Right.
Or minorities or whatever, and not whites this go round. So we're going to give minorities more money here and now, right here and now.
Right.
Or we're going to charge them less here and now.
Hmm.
What's the difference? It's the same.
It's the same thing.
Right. It's the same. How much you give them in their paycheck or what you take out of their paycheck when they purchase things.
That is
brilliant.
That's brilliant. But Bob, there's a bigger question that we need to address.
Yeah.
And that is, how should we, as a culture and as a society, set about to right the wrongs of slavery and discrimination that this country participated in for 300 years?
Yeah.
Well, what do we do?
Well, when slavery ended, there was some degree of reparations.
There was some degree.
Yeah. You could – and I forget the particulars. What could you get? You could get a half acre and a
40 acres and a mule.
And a mule.
But that was
40 acres?
That was whether you were white, black, or anyone. But if you were willing to go out and live in the wilderness in Kansas, they'd give you 40 acres and a mule.
Yeah.
And a lot of black people took advantage of that.
Yeah.
So there was some reparations there.
Yeah, and you know, the world, if we want to unravel the wickedness done between peoples, it goes all the way back 6,000 years. How do you unravel it?
You start unraveling, and it's like an onion.
Well, the illustration I often give, but we could give an illustration anywhere in the world. You see, well, who has the right to this land, whatever land you're talking about?
Well, sure.
Right? In Hawaii, the movement among Native Hawaiians is they want their country back.
Okay.
For the descendants of King Kamehameha to rule.
Right, right.
Right? They want a descendant of the queen or somebody to run Hawaii. They don't want to be a state anymore.
Okay, well, and I can see that.
Yeah, so America took Hawaii from King Kamehameha's, you know, there was a palace there.
Sure, yeah.
In Honolulu. Yeah. It's the only state where there was a palace, a royalty.
Yeah.
And we took America, a bloodless coup. We took Hawaii. We just took it over.
Yeah, well, we gave them some money for the naval bases and stuff. I mean, it's not like we just stormed in there. They didn't get a great deal.
No.
Only Manhattan was a better deal.
I think we pretty much just took it.
Yeah.
But so we could say, okay, let's give it back.
We could.
Give it back to who? The rightful owners. Who? King Kamehameha? Well, he slaughtered the kings on all the islands to unify control for himself.
Uh-huh.
So we give it to him. We give it to who? It's a mess. The history of the world is an ugly and cruel mess. And so if you're going to go back multiple generations to make things right, well, be prepared for complete mayhem.
Now, wouldn't you think that the logic of that statement it really points out the fact that the people who are talking about reparations and the people who are talking about affirmative action, it's not really about righting the wrongs of the past. It's really just about, I don't know, continuing the status quo and them keeping their job as director of black studies. Because if we really wanted to get past all this, there wouldn't be departments of black studies, and there wouldn't have to be bogus holidays like Kwanzaa. We'd all focus on the future, working together.
Well, and truth, like American truth. Indians, you know. So liberals will point out that European whites gave diseases to American Indians.
Yeah.
And we did.
That's not debatable. It happened.
Yeah, because we carried diseases they didn't have.
Right.
And they carried tobacco.
That's right.
And they gave tobacco to us.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how many American Indians died of STDs.
Well,
probably a lot.
Probably a lot. And smallpox.
And other diseases like smallpox. But how many white Europeans and Americans have died of lung cancer?
I would say the Indians won hands down.
Yeah.
I think they won that one.
Yeah, I'd say so. And so we could say, well, there's this eternal grudge, or we could say, you know, we hurt you guys hurt us, you guys were slaughtering one another before we got here, we were slaughtering one another before we got here. American Indians, many of them were nomads. They traveled.
Right.
And you travel over an area the size of Arizona and Nevada, and you've got 4,000 people. Do you own all 30,000 square miles, or what do you own?
Yeah.
And they had no sense of ownership. So the land, so there were cultures with different values that clashed.
Right.
And it was tragic. But at any rate,
well, I think that's where Christianity can solve things.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you and I come from a culture that has clashed and our ancestors were enemies, if we both meet in a church and we're worshiping the same God and we're reading from the same Bible, then really all that stuff in the past can be tossed out and we can move on, move forward.
Because Enyar is Dutch, German, and English.
Yeah.
And McBurney
is Irish or Scottish. Either way, my people were certainly enslaved by your people. At some point in the past.
Choose your weapons.
Right. I mean, there was definitely some ugliness between the English and the Dutch and the Germans
and the Irish. Everyone and everyone.
Now, I understand that it was generally the Irish and the Scots' fault that it started, but still. But see, we can get past all that because we worship the same God.
Yeah, right. And you know, in black slavery in America, America was guilty for what we did. It was evil, kidnapping, murder.
Right.
And Africa was guilty for selling their brothers and sisters into slavery.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guilt to go around. We'll be right back. Live commercial break here, 1-800-8-NYAR, 1-800-836-9278. We've been on a skeleton crew for the holidays.
It's the holidays.
And it'll still last another week.
Really?
Our skeleton.
Yeah. Well.
But then we'll be back with a fury.
Yes.
So you can call, leave a message. We're still getting our voicemail checked.
Right.
And you could order online at kgov.com.
That never closes.
No.
Right.
24/7.
And you got so many products now, Bob. Your catalog is double the size that it used to be.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't it neat?
Yeah.
So welcome to those of you listening in Colorado via KLTT, 670 AM, neat radio station.
Yes, and we're live.
Very powerful. We're live. Bob and Yart live here with Doug McBurney, and this is a live commercial break. I want to give you a sample of some of our titles of our videos. And, well, here we go. Get Out of the Matrix. That's where I got to debate a college philosophy class.
That is hilarious, yet very deep. It's video.
It's fun, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. You'll roll around laughing until you realize that the future of the country is at stake.
And you'll
with
be
these
crying,
kids.
But it's a good video.
Yeah.
Get Out of the Matrix. Not professionally filmed.
Well.
But one of the best amateur videos ever produced.
Yeah, phenomenal. It was
I would
great.
Say. Mount Moriah, much better production quality.
Yes.
And great content. The history and geography that provides the evidence for the resurrection.
Just a phenomenal video.
Mount Moriah. Man. It's so neat.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't even aware of that hill in Israel. I was so biblically illiterate. I watched that video, and I got into reading the Bible again.
Yeah.
Like, big time. I wanted to know all this stuff.
And all the evidence for the resurrection. We've had people say, you know, Bob, we watched Mount Moriah, and I am so mad. I said, what are you mad for? I've been a Christian for 50 years. I didn't know there was this kind of evidence
for
the resurrection.
Yeah,
it's exciting. Mount Moriah. So call us, 800-8-NYART or kgov.com. We're back, Doug.
Yes, we are.
1-800-836-9278. So we're all Kwanzaed out.
We're all Kwanzaed out. But since we are live, one of the very few live broadcasts going on in the Western United States, we should go ahead and take a call.
All right.
Since the lines are open, by the way, 800-836-9278.
All right. A Kwanzaa call. In Indian Hills, Colorado, Robert, speak your mind. Hello, Robert.
He's almost there. Well, he wants to be on.
We can't hear. We need volume for Robert.
Nope. Yeah, well.
We're
having a little technical difficulty here with Robert.
We had phone problems earlier in the week.
I've noticed that.
And we fixed them.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I think there's someone at the phone company who's out to get you.
Ah, come on.
I think it's, so, it's because you've been cursed with
phone curse.
No, you've been cursed with problems above and beyond.
Years.
It cannot be just coincidental.
The NYART phone curse.
Yeah, there's been it's been a lot of strange activities on the phones.
You know, it might just be a demon.
It could be a demon.
Come out! Come out!
Evil spirit out!
We're going to have to get Freak over at Theology Online.
Right, to come and exercise.
Exercise the phone system.
Yeah. If you know a good exorcist who has reasonable rates, please give us a call, 1-800-836-9278. And so are we going to try line one again? We're going to try line one again.
All right, let's see. Robert, are you there? No, we cannot hear Robert, not even through the wall.
That's really painful.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than doing a live broadcast and not being able to take your
calls. All right. Well, we'll get back to these people.
Yeah, we'll get that squared away.
Get their names and numbers.
Yeah. Now, enough of Kwanzaa. We'll leave that aside. Have you heard about this?
And enough of the bake sale? We done with the bake sale?
Oh, the bake sale.
I guess we're done.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought? Now, generally, we don't talk up the Republican Party too much, but I've got to admit,
a
lot of the activity in the young Republicans in the colleges and the universities, going back to the 1960s, has been very impressive.
They're smarter by far than the career Republicans.
Yeah, I don't know what happens to Republicans once they get older.
Well, because to get elected, you have to, in our system,
You
have to compromise on fundamental issues of morality and truth.
That is true.
You have to compromise.
That is true.
So it's tragic.
Yeah.
All right.
So look, we've got a couple callers on the line.
Yeah.
And we want you to be patient as we work through our technical difficulties. In the meantime, listen to what happened to Paul Harvey. Did you hear about this?
A little bit.
Now, Paul
the
Harvey
headline.
Is one of the few conservatives. He's on like 1,500 radio stations.
He's
some
huge.
Outrageous number
He's
of
huge.
Radio stations.
Rush Limbaugh always had to say He was the number one long format radio program.
Right. Because of
Paul Harvey.
He does his 15-minute news that I have listened to since I was 4 years old.
Right.
I've listened to Paul Harvey. He's relatively conservative, and I like his style.
He's the most Christian-friendly of the mega journalists.
Yeah, now he got himself into some trouble, and General Electric has pulled all their ads from Paul Harvey.
He must have done something right. did he do?
Well, he...
Do right and risk the
oddly enough, he was doing a story on cockfighting in Iraq, which I thought that only went on in Tijuana, but I guess they have it in Iraq.
Okay.
And for some reason, Paul Harvey was doing a story on it.
Okay.
Try to imagine that.
All right.
And he mentioned, he said, add to the cockfighting, this thirst for blood, a religion which encourages killing, and it's entirely understandable if Americans came to this bloody party unprepared. So he said he implied that Islam encourages killing.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Council on American Islamic Relations, as you can imagine, objected.
Took a fit.
They said they objected particularly to the phrase, quote, a religion which encourages killing, unquote. Right. And they demanded an apology. Well,
and finish that. Well, and they asked for him to be hung.
they asked for his right hand to be cut off.
Right.
They demanded an apology. And as you can well imagine, in the politically correct environment in which even Paul Harvey has to make a living, about a week later, he issued a statement through a fill-in host. He didn't apologize exactly, but he did say that Islam is, quote, a religion of peace. Mm. So Paul Harvey had to capitulate.
And then, you know, and the natural follow-up to that is where?
Oh, yeah.
Islam is a religion of peace. Where?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right? Where exactly is that? I think
it's places where Islam is not in control.
Right.
You know, if Islam is not in control, it tends to be a religion of peace.
You know what? That's where religion is it's a religion of peace in Indiana. where they're dominated and by Christianity, and they just can't go around blowing stuff up as much as they'd like to. But poor, you know, Paul Harvey has to compete. We've all got to make a living, right? I understand Paul Harvey. You know, GE's probably a big advertiser.
Oh, yeah.
And he couldn't stand to lose them for any.
GE is obviously a worldwide supplier.
Right.
And a boycott in Arab countries could...
It would cost them money.
Yeah, big money, I would think.
Yeah, well... Not as much as, say, San Francisco. The entire Islamic world doesn't generate the revenue that Paso Robles does. Well, but, you know, even after the earthquake. But still, it would have been some loss.
Yeah.
You know.
So anyway,
do we want to try the phones again? Do you even want to try it?
Poor Paul Harvey.
Poor Paul Harvey. Good day.
Now, should we try the phones?
We'll give it a try.
All right. Why don't we try somebody else?
Yeah, let's try the other line.
It might not be the phone system that has a demon in it. It might be just line
it might
one.
Be the one line.
So let's try line two in Denver, Colorado. David, speak your mind. Hello, David. No?
Yeah, no, I can't hear him.
I think I hear Cahow in my headphones.
Well, I hear something in my headphones, but it's not what we were going for.
It's not David.
That's unfortunate.
Now, I think Robert and David, not to be rude to them, we should get them back on the show Monday night.
Yeah, you guys should try back Monday when we get the.
All right. So
Bob, what was your first reaction to the capture of Saddam? I don't think I've seen you since we captured Saddam, have I?
I thought it was great. I was thrilled.
I was thrilled.
Yeah.
Now, I was asleep at the time, which is, I'm so glad there's a military, because I was lounging around sleeping at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, right.
They were out there digging in a hole to find the bad guys.
Yeah, and...
God bless the United States military.
Yeah, that was great, and I figured, you know, the intelligence we should be able to get out of him, willingly or not, and that's paid off big time in the last week.
They've caught a bunch of guys.
Yeah, including quite a few upper echelon...
Yeah.
Generals and lieutenants.
Well, one thing seems obvious.
Yeah.
Is that there is definitely a coordinated resistance effort underway against our occupation of Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
It's coordinated.
Yeah.
And so now that we've caught those guys, they'll lead us to some other guys.
Which they're doing.
Yeah, and we'll be able to stomp it out.
Well, an overnight raid. There was an overnight raid, what, not last night, to Christmas?
Yeah, yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah, just a couple nights ago.
Yeah, Christmas Eve. And they went to about 20 sites or so. They arrested 60-some people. 21 they described as leaders of this uprising.
Yeah.
And that's pretty neat.
Yeah,
they're an overnight raid. And that's after about 100 or so we picked up after we first got the briefcase.
Right. So it's like, it's how fast can Osama pump the guys in there? That's as fast as we're going to catch him and hopefully kill him.
And to the extent that they have to be coordinated, that's the extent that they leave a trail.
Right.
And we're getting really good at tracking these people down and arresting or killing them.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we arrest them, we get more information out of them because a lot of them talk.
Yeah. Well, apparently someone's talking because I have been flying around this whole holiday week. Mm-hmm. And I've got to tell you, I'm not paranoid generally. But it was a little nerve-wracking flying this week because, there's
this
all this
week, right.
all this chatter going on that they might use planes.
And with the French saying there was nothing to worry about,
right.
which means there was almost certainly something to worry about.
So thank you, President Bush, for canceling those flights from Paris.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Now, of the passengers who didn't show up, apparently one was a pilot.
Right, in flight training.
Which adds to the intrigue of it all.
Was his name Mohammed? That's the only question I have.
I drew Mohammed.
I drew Mohammed.
Abdul, I mean.
Well, I just have to admit, the reason I brought up Osama, or not Osama.
Yeah.
I always get them confused.
Yeah.
Saddam.
Yeah.
Was when I found out he got caught, I was waking up out of a very restful slumber.
Yeah.
And when I cleared my cobwebs out of my head, I came out of the room and I asked Mike, I said, Mike, did they kill him?
Mike who?
Mike in Vegas.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah, Mike's house, the terrorist target there in
Mike
Vegas.
Mike Thiemann.
Yeah.
Our dear friend.
Yes. Well, he had the honor of giving me the news, and I said, did they kill him?
Yeah.
He said, no, they caught him.
Yeah.
And I have to admit that I was a bit crestfallen at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Just for a moment.
Yeah, I don't mind
that
because of the intelligence, and the trial's got to be fun.
Oh, man. Oh, here, I got an email from Gary in
Oklahoma. Liberals will hate that trial?
Oh,
when the evidence against him will be the thousands of people he slaughtered, men,
right.
women, and children, systematic torture, rapes.
Right, the mass graves.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands killed, violent deaths. And that'll be the evidence against him. And here you have the liberals saying, we shouldn't have taken him down.
No, certainly. We shouldn't have showed him getting the lice inspection on TV. That was just beyond the pale.
As long as the French were going to make money from him, our hands should have been tied. That's the policy of liberals.
Now, I made a bold prediction that Saddam would die a natural death. But Gary in Oklahoma goes one further.
Well, I disagree.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. The Iraqis are going to kill him the day they get, you know, we said June 30th.
Uh-huh.
We may turn over the government.
Yeah.
If we do, he'll be dead on the 1st of July.
All right. Well, I don't have enough confidence to make a bet with you.
All right.
So I think – anyway, Gary says in the end, Saddam will probably get 20 years in a jail cell with cable TV, write a best-selling book, move to France, and have dinner with Hillary and Jacques Chirac.
Well, France and Chirac, I could buy that. So do we want- All right, Doug, we're telling people about our videos in this live commercial break.
Yeah.
So far, what did we do?
We did Mount Moriah.
Yep.
And was that? I think that was all we did.
Planet Stars in the
Planet
Bible.
Oh, Planet Stars in the Bible. That was two commercials ago.
Two breaks back.
Yeah.
We only do three commercial breaks in this one-hour show.
Is that right?
Which is not bad.
No, that's way better than the secular
media. I remember
media.
KOA used to get 21 minutes of commercials.
Really?
In an hour on drive time. That's what I remember.
Well, it's way more now. I remember when things started at 5 past the hour, and now it's 6. Now it's 6:30.
Ooh.
6:30 after the hour now. Just packing in the commercials.
Okay, so Planet Starts in the Bible, Get Out of the Matrix.
Oh, Get Out of the Matrix, yeah.
And Mount Moriah. We also have God in the Death Penalty.
God in the Death Penalty. Those are not two exclusive ideas. Those ideas fit right together, God and the Death Penalty.
Right. In New Testament support for capital
punishment.
We
need to send that to Mark Furman.
Mark Furman?
I'm reading his book, Bob. It'll make you want to vomit.
Ah. Good. I'll read it right away.
We need to get, in fact, those of you out in the audience, if there's anyone who lives up there in Idaho, get a copy of God and the Death Penalty and send it to Mark Furman before we lose him.
Really?
I thought he was a pretty solid guy, but he's you know what is happening? Is he's losing faith in the death penalty because of the machinations of the justice system.
Right.
And that's what's great about this video.
Let's send him one.
He needs to see it, because if the death penalty
is
done
right.
Well, he lives up in...
It's important to send stuff like this to people of some influence.
Yes, and Mark Furman is... Well, I mean,
he's got a lot of influence.
He's got a lot of influence.
He's on talk shows.
He did a good job in the O.J. Simpson case.
Yeah, that's why he was...
Yeah, that's why they singled him out and destroyed his, you know, reputation among the liberals. But I've bought all of his books. They've been fabulous. His most recent book, though, is called Death and Justice. Mm. And it's about Oklahoma over the last 20 years. And it's just depressing to see the justice system. So, folks, call 800-836-9278. Get a copy of God and the Death Penalty. We'll get you Furman's address, and we'll make sure we get it to him.
Okay.
Or kgov.com. So we're back. It's Bob Enyart live on AM 670, the mighty KLTT, and of course at kgov.com. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make one more try with the phones just because.
We are?
Sure, we are, because we're gluttons for punishment.
All right. Go ahead.
And our board op has been feverishly turning knobs and buttons and sliders, and we just want to see if he's been able to make any headway. On line two, David, speak your mind.
Hey, guys.
Whoa.
Praise the Lord.
David.
David.
Welcome. What's up, guys?
Welcome to Kwanzaa. Welcome to the show.
You're up, David.
Yeah, I just wanted to wish you guys a happy Kwanzaa, you know.
Yeah. Well,
spent the whole holiday in my Kwanzaa hut. You know, with the it's got a circular
Kwanzaa hut.
Roof. Is that what it is?
A Kwanzaa hut is like if you cut a soda can in half and sit it on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what a Kwanzaa, I think it's Quonset hut, though.
Oh,
but close enough.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
I mean,
I'm
with
sorry.
Kwanzaa, it's just got to be close. It doesn't have to necessarily
and
be.
And then the traditional drink is, you know, a nice percolating pot of coffee.
Yeah.
Really?
The best part of waking up is soldiers in your hut.
There you go. Well, what I really wanted to talk about was I'm having a problem with homosexuality.
Oh,
no.
Well, I don't know if we want to...
It's a horrible problem.
Well, okay. Go ahead a little bit further.
That really begs the question.
Yeah. Well, see, let me tell my story. I go to the Starbucks in my area, and it's run by a lesbian.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she hired this guy who frosts his hair and wears eyeshadow.
Oh, no.
And
wait a minute. That's just one of the guys from Duran Duran.
He looks like he's from Duran Duran. He may have been a former member of Duran Duran.
Okay. All right.
This is terrible.
But, you know, so the problem is whenever I go into this store and see this guy... I get a nauseated feeling.
You're probably going in there looking to eat and drink.
Yeah.
Right?
I have to tell you, I'm relieved by the turn of events in this call.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, by the way.
Whenever I leave that Starbucks, the nauseated feeling disappears.
Wow.
So I was wondering what I should do. Should I use, like, Pepto-Bismol or Alka-Seltzer? What do you guys think I should do?
We used to sell two products on the show.
Yeah, yeah. Two of our best-selling products.
Yeah, Gay Away for men and Dyke-Off for women.
Ah. Which you would need a can of each, it sounds like.
It sounds like I would, both for the manager and the employee.
Right.
Right.
And you could start by spraying it, like, around the perimeter of the store.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you go in, first use it in the restroom.
Now, this stuff is safe for children, isn't it?
Well, the problem is we've had some difficulties with production. You know, these guys tried to move it offshore, and it's just not up to the standards that it used to be, and so it's not available right at the moment.
Right.
I see.
But
we used to sell it for $4.95 a can.
Yeah.
Is there a guarantee?
Yeah, your money back.
Yeah, you get your money back.
If not satisfied.
If you're not completely satisfied, and if the gays aren't away within, I think it was 72 hours, but you had to follow the instructions.
And then
they were quite detailed.
Didn't we have a deodorant, too?
Was there a deodorant?
Yeah, there was a deodorant. Come on now. Help my... Now, Dave, how long have you been aware of this show, David?
Oh, I've been watching or watching and listening the radio show and the TV show ever since the beginning.
So you might remember we used to advertise a deodorant for lesbians. Strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. I don't remember the title.
But that's a pretty catchy advertising slogan.
You'd probably get in trouble for saying that.
I'll tell you what, guys. Why don't you send me if you could rush me, FedEx me both of those products. I'll give you my credit card number.
We're going to have to send you the concentrate that you actually hook up to a garden hose.
Wow. Okay.
Now, when we advertised this, it was $4.95 a can. That's $495.
$495 a can. Yeah, it was pretty steep.
They were going like hockey.
You couldn't keep them on the shelves. No.
Okay. Well, if you can send those out immediately.
Yeah. We're going to have our call screener take your information, and as soon as we work out the issues with our offshore manufacturer, then we will be sure that you're at the top of the list.
So it's back ordered right now.
I knew I could count on you guys.
Thank you, Dave.
This is great. Okay. Have a good night, guys.
God bless you, David.
See ya.
I'm glad he had the persistence.
You know, and that reminds me. That he hung on the line.
I think. It might have been a demon. What line was he on?
He was on line two.
Two.
And line one, we never could get up.
No.
But lines 20 through 27 seem to be working fine.
All right.
But I was telling you how I was a little uncomfortable traveling over this past week because of the terror alert.
Right.
I was at the airport when I heard the terror alert went from yellow to orange.
Ooh.
And that's never fun.
No.
You know, not that you're scared or paranoid. I'm not exactly.
No, but it's just.
But it's not comfortable.
Yeah. Right.
But there was only one thing that made me more uncomfortable than the terrorist threat level, and that were all the homosexual male stewardesses.
The male stewardesses.
Just every airline, the union must, they must have a rule in the union.
They only hire male stewardesses.
And I was flying United, which is particularly dominated.
The worst. Why is it that you get ready to take off and the male stewardess comes on the PA, and he says, "Please put your tray table in the upright and locked position, and don't let anything fall on your head." They talk like that.
Right, right.
And then the pilot comes on a few minutes later, and he says, we're flying at 30,000 feet. Why doesn't the pilot ever talk like a sissy, and the male stewardess say, "Pick up your table or we'll slap you"?
Put your tray table up.
Why is it always the male stewardesses that are the sissies?
And you know what? You know what's so uncomfortable is you can't really say anything. You can't say anything to the male stewardess.
You cannot
say
a word.
And you can't. The people around you, they're probably all gay friendly.
They would probably land prematurely in Indianapolis and take you off the plane.
Yes, they would. They would have you arrested.
If you said, "Can I please get my food from a stewardess? Can you have a stewardess hand me my cheeseburger?"
Oh, man.
Remember, we were on that flight with the male stewardess.
That's right. And you actually made me you made a comment that whenever a male stewardess hands you something, anything, no matter how big or how small, he has to make physical contact. He has to
touch your fingers.
He will touch you. And I said, "Bob,
there's no way.
I will not let him touch me." So I held my cup.
Wait now, let me finish drinking out of this cup so I could demonstrate at least to our studio audience.
Yeah. So I, in an effort to resist.
This is what you did.
I held the cup on the tip of my two fingers.
Tip of his fingers and held it up.
And I attempted to hand it back.
And that homo reached his little pinky that cup and just.
And he brushed right across my fingers.
And Doug just shuddered.
I said, and now I didn't fly much back then, and I said, "Bob, you are a wise man, and you know many things."
It was so gross.
Because he had that nail.
So gross, these guys.
Yeah, and you would think, that if we lived in a sane society, that for public health reasons, they would not allow homosexuals to be stewardesses on planes. Because you're in you're in this tube breathing each other's air and just rubbing all up against you. I mean, who needs that?
Yeah.
Just for public health, you would want people whose lifestyles are prone to gathering diseases
Yeah.
You wouldn't let lepers on to host the thing and hand out drinks.
Well, it's gross. You know, it should be criminal to be a homo, but it's not.
It's not criminal.
It's criminal to be a Christian out of the closet. That's you can't say Merry Christmas if you work for a major corporation or the government.
No, you can't.
So what's good is evil and what's evil is good, and it's gross.
Yeah, everything's upside down. But there is one small island of sanity, and that's the Christian community. The body of Christ is the island of sanity that keeps the world from just flying apart into just mayhem.
Right.
You know, and disease and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see now. Do we want to do any more news?
Well, we're almost out of time, but go ahead.
Well, you don't want to.
Michael Jackson said, "Before I hurt a child again, I would slit my wrists."
Now, wait a minute. Is he just describing his protocol? That he slits his wrists first or what?
Oh, wait. He didn't say again.
Oh, he didn't say again.
Oh, I misread that.
He said, "Before I hurt a child."
Before I would hurt a child, I would slit my wrists.
Okay, and then what would you do?
I thought he said, "Before I would." Yeah, right. I thought he said, "Before I would hurt a child again, I would slit my wrist."
Oh, no. I thought he was giving us a chronological.
Oh, after what this has cost me in record sales.
Yeah.
So
anyway, but we don't know that Michael Jackson's guilty, and he's presumed innocent.
Of course he's guilty.
He's presumed innocent.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
By
But he's guilty.
I don't know who presumes him innocent.
Right. You know, so many people say you're innocent until proven guilty. That's not true. Right,
unless you actually did the crime.
Yeah, you're guilty the second you did the crime.
Right.
And if the system is too incompetent to convict you, that's another problem.
Yeah.
But you're not innocent until you're convicted.
No.
You're guilty the second you did it.
Right. And it's our job to just figure out how we can prove that you're guilty and then and then sentence you.
So you're not convicted until you're convicted.
So Michael Jackson, now what's the deal here? If I was arrested for a particularly heinous crime, now I would never say child molestation because I just couldn't even comprehend that.
Right.
But let's say shoplifting.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to do is go on 60 Minutes. Michael Jackson's accused of molesting children, and he's going to go on 60 Minutes.
Right.
There's just something wrong with the whole culture. And it's going to dominate the headlines. Michael Jackson, what did he say on 60 Minutes?
And he said he will never live at the Neverland Ranch again.
Oh, he did.
Because it's been violated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice property.
And also, the police know where all his secret compartments are now.
Yeah,
so what's the sense?
Yeah. Well, you know, someone might be able to pick that thing up for a song in a few years. Mm. That's a nice property.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I was going to say something else, and now I've lost it. I hate it when that happens.
Well, that's all right.
Well, you know, it happens from time to time. I know what it is.
Yeah.
We're going to the news media is going to be obsessed with what Michael Jackson said to the guy on 60 Minutes who wears the earring.
Right.
The guy who wears the earring interviews him. How appropriate is that? Anyway, that's what they're going to talk about for the next 48 hours. Meanwhile, there's suffering and death and destruction all over the world. Lost people are on their way to hell. Marriages are falling apart. People are killing each other.
Right.
And they'll want us to talk about what Michael Jackson said to the guy on 60 Minutes. It just doesn't matter. He should be tried, executed, and move on. Should be a short story.
Tried, executed, and convicted.
Well, in some order, something similar to that.
However.
Tried, convicted, executed, and then let's move on and try to solve some real problems.
Yeah.
The lost world. There's a lost world going to hell.
Right.
How about that one?
Yeah.
Who cares what Michael Jackson says on 60 Minutes, just as long as he's punished appropriately.
Yeah. Do you think he'll be executed?
He could still be a good example if he's executed.
If he's executed.
He could still live to
His
be a
life
good example.
Could come to something worthwhile.
Oh, he'll never be executed. He won't even be in prison.
No, we don't even have that kind of law.
He beats the rap, in my opinion. He walks.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's my
If he gets put
opinion.
In jail,
I'm
that
real
would be
pessimistic,
a trip, wouldn't that?
Michael Jackson in prison.
How could that? I can't picture that.
I don't know how long he would last.
I just can't picture that. You think he'll be another OJ?
Well, hey, after OJ, I've just lost all hope.
Johnny Cochran is on the case.
Well, I'm sure they're lining up.
Right? He's helping.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he is.
The Nation of Islam's in there now.
Yeah. His son was murdered after he got a murderer off. Hey, we're out of time, Doug. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
All right, this is Bob Inert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.